Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It's wonderful to have you here. Tuesday afternoon, 48 hours till an NFL draft. Just a few hours until Game 5. Warriors-Spurs playoff basketball at Oracle Arena tonight. That all sounds pretty darn good to me. I hope it sounds good to you. A's baseball happening on Q102 this evening in Texas. Taking on the Rangers. Giants baseball, Game 2. Nationals in town. Mack Williamson putting one deep into the center field bleachers. We're going to talk about that, how much of a difference it really makes to a lineup to have a guy who can hit a ball out of the infield. Ho-ho! Not too shabby. We got three NFL playoff games tonight. Gianna, we still have absolutely no idea.
NBA playoff games. I think you got draft already on your mind.
I do. NBA playoff games tonight. NHL playoff games.
That's fine.
No idea.
No, none.
This is freaking ridiculous.
I thought there was rumors that possibly Wednesday, but it's Tuesday now. I figure we would know by now.
Like,
I don't know. It's weird.
If you're the San Jose Sharks, you better be checked into some Vegas hotel right now, because I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Bettman was like, oh, by the way, game one starts in a half an hour. You better get down the strip. A whole bunch of San Jose Sharks pouring out of the Spearmint Rhino.
Uh-oh.
We got to go play a hockey game, eh?
Donskoy wouldn't do that.
Oh, you don't know.
Donskoy!
If you got a bobblehead, chances are you party, you get down.
And it's a bobble ace.
Exactly. You got all sorts of hip flexors.
Donskoy!
We're going to have ourselves a Tuesday trifecta today. We're going to talk about how the NFL really does try to eat itself alive. I am really looking forward to this draft. Gianna, if anyone is going to be... How about this? We need to assume something for the sake of today's program, tomorrow's sanity, and Thursday's draft coverage.
Okay.
We have to assume, and this is with no disrespect to the greatness of the San Antonio Spurs. This is with no disrespect to future Hall of Famers like Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. This has got nothing to do with me throwing shade at San Antonio. I absolutely need this series closed out in five games. There are not a lot of times where I say sports has to bend itself to my schedule. But whenever I start working on a show that's 4 days out, 3 days out, 2 days out, a day out, that's a show I want to do because, you know, actual effort. Actual effort is being put into this draft show. I'm really looking forward to it. It's supposed to be me, Joe Fortenbaugh, and Greg Papa on a Thursday afternoon. And if you work in downtown San Francisco, you are invited to come and join us at Schroeder's. This is happening in the financial district. We're going to have ourselves a grand old time if this series is closed out tonight. Because if the unthinkable happens, if the San Antonio Spurs win Game 5 inside of Oracle Arena, Game 6 will be Thursday back in San Antonio, and it will be happening at the same time as we would be on the air for the NFL draft. So, none of that, please. Like I said, I've already started working on this.
We're going to be fine.
Ask me how hard I'm working.
How hard are you working?
I'm killing myself.
Oh, God. Research.
Not true. See, here's the nice thing about this draft. In drafts past, you had to be very literate, fluent in the first, you know, 15, 16 picks of the draft. Where are the Niners drafting? Where are the Raiders drafting? We need to know. We need to be draft literate through those picks. This is only the top 10. Like, I'm here to tell you right now, I am not focused on a single pick that falls after the 10th pick in this draft. How the top 10 plays out is going to be absolutely fascinating. We are going to see a draft that gets more attention paid to it than any other draft, not just in the history of the NFL, not just in the history of television, but in the history of drafts in any sport. This is going to be the most covered, the most paid attention to draft of our lifetimes. By the way, look at Roz tonight. Looking fantastic.
She does. She looks great. We're watching a little NBA TV.
Roz is on NBA TV. I like the orange-pink color combo of the blouse, and the hair is on point tonight. Nice job, Roz.
Yeah, she looks great.
She got that network money. She gone network.
She's got that makeup artist and hairstylist.
She got network makeup and hair is what she's got.
Good times. Must be nice.
Very, very good for her. Roz is in Boston, one of three games tonight. There are two series looking to close out in the NBA tonight. We all know that the Warriors would like to wrap up with San Antonio. The 76ers would like to dispatch the Miami Heat. They lead that series 3-1 and have a close it out at home game just like the Warriors do tonight. By the way, that tips off at 5 o'clock our time, so something for us to keep an eye on. In about an hour from now, Bucks and Celtics back in Boston for game 5. That series is tied at 2. Something's gotta give. And Roz Goldon Wude will be there to give it to you from the sidelines. She is there tonight. And like I said, hair and makeup looking on point. I love a draft. I love playoff games. I love this time of the year. I'm looking forward to the Sharks getting back into the mix. Like, I hate it when the Warriors play at like an earlier time, or you get an A's game at an earlier time. And when that wraps up, like, you're done watching sports right about dinner time. I like to watch sports till about 11, 11:30 myself. I
like, the whole evening stacked with some sports.
I like it. I like sports blanketed from about the time I get home to the time I go to bed. That's when I'm at my happiest.
So pretty much 7 to 11. That's like your prime time.
That's it. That's all I'm asking for. I'm only asking for like 5 to 6 uninterrupted hours of sports on a nightly basis, 5 nights a week for my own personal sanity. And I have a feeling an awful lot of you are like that. I mean, I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Go home, talk to my wife about her day?
Ugh. God forbid.
Yeah. We got sports everywhere. Let's just keep on doing that. Game 5 Oracle tonight. We all know that no team has ever won a series which it trailed 3-0. But the Spurs, you know, they were able to stay alive. Respect to them. They forced Game 5 with a 103-90 win over a disinterested Warrior team. And I'm going to say that again. A disinterested Warriors team. When the Warriors are interested in closing you out, they close you out. I think the Warriors felt that they were playing with house money in Game 4 and didn't take their money seriously. They certainly didn't value possessions. 5 ways to win Game 5. We're going to get into that tonight. I got to admit, watching yesterday, I think I'm a closet Utah Jazz fan now.
Really?
Right up until they meet the Warriors, I am a closet Utah Jazz fan. First of all, Russell Westbrook is playing his own team right out of the playoffs so he can bend the storyline of this series to his own personal agenda. Ricky Rubio put it on him hard. He guaranteed that wouldn't happen again. And even though Rubio didn't go off quite the degree he did in Game 3, in Game 4, they took control of this series. Remember what Paul George was telling us all about Playoff P? Like, you haven't met Playoff P yet. I don't even know what that's...
Uh-huh.
Well, Paul George is the least of the Thunder problems, to be totally honest with you. But Playoff P is looking at a 3-1 hole right now. Steven Adams might be the single best player in this series for Oklahoma over the last few games. Rubio, he's fun to watch, man. Ricky Rubio is fun to watch. He flips fancy passes all over that court. He's really got that ball on a yo-yo. He's fun. And Donovan Mitchell, this is a significant rookie. This guy has already, I believe, scored the fifth most points in rookie history in five NBA playoff games or four NBA playoff games. It's really impressive what he's done. I've been told, I have heard that it is fait accompli, that it is going to be Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons sits in so much better of a situation than Donovan Mitchell does. Ben Simmons is surrounded by top draft picks and valuable added for this year veterans. The Utah Jazz were supposed to miss the playoffs because Gordon Hayward left. Don't you remember?
Mm-hmm.
They're about to knock out Oklahoma City. That's going to happen. By the way, I hope the cupcakes taste delicious in Oklahoma City a little bit later on this week. Should they use cream cheese frosting on those? For that cream cheese defense that's being played by the Thunder? They are awful defensively. Carmelo Anthony washed up. I don't know what happened to that guy. I mean, I know that he hasn't been a complete top-flight, top-tier NBA talent for a couple of years now, but the fall-off is prolific. He's like a taller, thicker Nick Young right now. Neither plays any defense. If one guy's hot, he's going to help you out. If he's not hot, he could shoot you right the hell out of your comeback attempt. Utah put it on the Thunder last night. That was an awful lot of fun to watch. We've got Gary St. Jean a little bit later on this hour. Rich Aurelia is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We're going to have 5 before 5 at 4:45. A Tuesday trifecta, and before you know it, Warriors warm-up will be underway from Oracle Arena at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, it's you, it's me, it's us. We're hanging out together on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Good to have you here. How about the fact that the A's are one of the hottest teams in baseball out of absolutely nowhere? They have turned in a very good stretch here. They've won officially 7 of their last 8. They're now a game over 500. Keep it going.
Hey, now.
Stay hot, green and gold. Do it, do it, do it. I see Materian Ross said something else on yet another circle back to Howard Terminal as a proposed site. Yet, look, I don't, there's talks about gondolas. How are we going to get people to games? And like I said before, you could have a catapult rocketing fans into an A's stadium. I'd be cool with it, and so would most A's fans. Give them something shiny. Give them something pretty. Give them something boutique-y. Give them something that they can be proud of. Give them something that rewards a fan for the time they took to bother to show up to your game with a nice atmosphere and all of that. You're going to have yourselves a winner.
You'll have something there.
You'll have something there. Dave Cavill, I was actually sending emails back and forth with our good friend Andy Dolich.
Yeah.
I told him. He's like, what do you think about this gondola? I'm like, I don't care. They could use a catapult. And he's like, would it be called a Dave Cavalpult?
Very good.
It's like pretty good. That's why Bubby made a Kishka. Right there. We got ourselves an NFL draft coming up in 48 hours. Really looking forward to that. What I am not looking forward to, Gianna, is the one thing the NFL does to itself every single time, all chances it gets. It's overexposure. I mean, that's what Thursday night football and Sunday night football, those are the nights of football that ruined Monday night football. It wasn't that Monday night football all of a sudden became ruined. It just became oversaturated. We got Thursday nighters, a Sunday nighter, a Monday nighter, a full slate of Sunday football. ESPN has got a Thursday night game, Saturday night games, college football all over the place. I'm watching Dave Fleming do BYU games, you know, on a Wednesday. Like, I mean, it's just,
it's too much.
Too much football. The NFL draft used to be this one cool little thing set in a corner, reserved for the geekiest of geeky NFL fans. The NFL draft never had mass appeal. It was a cult sport. The NFL draft is for people who are not casual football fans. If you're interested in the draft, you are no longer a casual football fan. We are going to see this draft oversold, bloated, rolled out to us on more networks than ever before. ESPN, NFL Network, Fox, ABC, ESPN2, ESPN Deportes. This thing is going to be thrown at us everywhere. You won't be able to turn on TV without looking at the NFL draft. It's going to be like the person who overstayed its welcome at the party. We don't need this much. We don't need it on 9 different networks, but we're going to get it. And you know what? We're going to be interested enough where we're going to check it out. There's no doubt. The curiosity will get the better of us because we've been watching the NFL draft on ESPN and NFL Network all of our lives. Now Fox has got it. We see bloviated promises of days 2 and 2, 3 of this draft. So for those of you who don't know, Thursday is round 1. Friday is rounds 2 and 3, and then rounds 4 through 7 will be on Saturday. In order to get you to come back as a casual fan, I mean, look, let's be honest. Can't we be honest in sports anymore?
Okay.
Who the hell is interested in the 4th through 7th rounds of the draft? I know I am, but I'm a junkie and I'm addicted.
But the casual fan, that's tough.
No way. My mom is going to sit down and watch rounds 4 through 7 of the NFL draft. You are high. She won't be there for round 1. But, I mean, it's just, I don't understand why they're trying to have mass appeal to something that is clearly just for the Dorcas Malorcases of us all.
Probably they sold it. That's my, I mean, right? It's all about money. They want people to come back and get those commercials on, have viewers, ratings. That's what it's about.
Madam, you are brilliant. You have absolutely hit the nail on the head. This is about money. This is about eyeballs. This is about stoking your curiosity with gimmicks. I saw an article written today by our very own Anna Colorado Rockies. On 95.7thegame.com, Anna Kataragis says to spice up. Let me ask you right now. Did you ever say to yourself, you know what this 4th round needs? It needs to be spiced up.
A little spice. No.
We need some spice in this round. It's like an office space where they're trying to convince Jennifer Aniston to wear more flair. I'm not comfortable talking about my flair. I just want footage of draft picks. I want to instantly feel good or bad about other teams' decisions. I want overreaction. I don't need a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's a list of names. Read me the list as fast as possible without as many moving parts as possible. And the NFL says, no! No! Let's slow this thing down to the point where we have droids announcing draft picks. I'm not even kidding because they want to include those who would not normally be interested in later round picks. They're going to be goofying up this draft. Day 3, Chewbacca, R2-D2, some stormtroopers, Ron Howard will be making draft picks on behalf of the 49ers. Andrew Siciliano tipped us out early that R2-D2 is going to announce the 49ers' 4th round pick. R2-D2. And with the 128th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select I mean,
that's understandable.
Easy. Good. That guy, I tell you, he was trending in the right direction. I knew we were going to hear his name. What the hell is that? So you're going to send a fictional character? Hold on. Let me be good to R2
because
R2's
always thinking Star Wars.
You're going to send a beloved fictional character,
yes, beloved,
to the podium to use a language none of us understand to announce a draft pick. Feels gimmicky.
I don't speak R2-D2 to you.
Feels a little gimmicky. I'm fluent in droid, and I still stumble over this. And what? Am I supposed to go like, oh, that R2? Oh, it's so good to hear him. You just don't get enough R2. Thank God. He's at the NFL draft. Well, I mean, come on.
Well, and is that just going to be enough to keep the casual fan interested? It's some appointment television. Let's tune in at such and such time on Saturday to hear R2-D2 reveal the Niners pick in the fourth round.
Well, and then when R2's done, it's like, well, thanks a lot, R2, for completely throwing away at least 10 to 20 seconds of everybody's life together. Now to actually announce the pick, here's a human who understands names and language.
I mean, I get they're trying to make it interesting. It's different, but I just...
Gianna, at the very least, you send up the protocol droid. Everyone knows that.
Well, set up C-3PO.
Exactly.
Because at least we know what we understand him.
Speaks over 10,000 languages.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Chewbacca doesn't really speak English either, so that's
going to
be
tough. No, but still, an incredible amount of...
Yeah, well. But my favorite.
And, of course, all of this is to promote the movie Solo that's coming out. I'm holding out hope that that's going to be a good prequel of Han Solo. I hope so. Again, you could just put the Millennium Falcon in IMAX for a half an hour, and I'd give you $20 to go watch it.
Well, we should be clear, too. It's not just the Niners doing this stuff. Like, there's other teams doing odd, gimmicky. Like, the Buccaneers have a parrot named Zaza, I believe.
Yes.
Announcing their pick at some point. So,
vote Zaza for Julia.
Not that Zaza, but our parrot Zaza.
Look at it this way. Who's going to get more minutes? The Zaza Pachulia in Game 5 tonight? Or the parrot announcing the Buccaneers' fourth round draft pick? Which Zaza is going to have a bigger week? In the ultimate slap in everybody who still lives here's face, the Raiders are inviting youth and high school football players from Las Vegas to announce their pick on day three. Those selections will be made from an Air Force base in Vegas.
Wow.
Bay Area Air Force bases, screw all of you and your Air Force Bay Area children. Screw all of you Bay Area youth football children. The Raiders are more interested in children from elsewhere than they are in the children from here. That's super duper. Seriously, it's just already forgot where you came from.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah,
they're,
why don't you go ahead?
Out the door.
Why don't you go ahead and root for the Golden Knights against the Sharks and have a whole bunch of youth football leagues from the trailer park that you're moving to?
That's tough.
And now I'm now I need someone to make me happy again, and boy, do I have the right person to do just that. A Warriors analyst on NBC Sports, part of the Basketball Hour right here on 95.7 The Game, all over Game 5 tonight. The one and only Gary St. Jean joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Good to have you back, Gary. How are you, buddy?
Dan, I love being on your good side.
Well, thank you. You're always going to be on my good side. We got love for you, Gary. You got love for you.
We're going to have love tonight because we're going to take care of business and get this done tonight. Look forward to the next series on this beautiful sunny day in the Bay.
Yeah, you know, it really seems the same story all year. When the Warriors want a game, they can go take a game. When they're a little disinterested, they might trip over themselves or their opponent on the way to losing that game. And that's sort of what happened in Game 4. Having said all that, supreme respect to the team that dies hard. And, you know, this would have been really easy for the Spurs to just say, we don't want to get on a plane and go back to Oakland in a series we know we're not going to win. What's the point? And Manu and Tony Parker refused to give it up, and they played hard.
Dame, you know, one of the in vogue words in the NBA, probably in all the sports, is culture, the culture of your program. They've, with the Spurs, have established that for over 20 years. And it starts with Pop and the relationships that he has with his players. He not only coaches them, but he really, really hugs them and cares about them off the court. And what they're all about is people and their families and all of that kind of thing. And because they know how much he cares about them, he then can poke them in what we say a hard way. He can be demanding what he wants on the floor defensively because he's undermanned. But their team is undermanned right now without Leonard. But yet they put forth that effort because that's the San Antonio Spur way. They played hard. They played with force. They played downhill. But they defended. The Warriors turned. Yeah, the Warriors made some, what do you want to say, turnovers that weren't caused by the defense. But they won the hustle game in the first half, and that carried over. Yeah, the Warriors made a great run, had a chance to win the game. But it was Ginobili, it was Parker, and these guys. And, I use the phrase, the basketball gods are looking down on you. And that was the Spurs game to take. And I love Steve Kerr's response about the game. You know, he just said, hey, you know, that's Manu. I played with the guy. He's old as dirt,
yeah.
You know, yet he goes out there and gives you that great game. And to top it all off, he knocks that three down right in front of Steve. And all Steve could do was smile.
You know, when we talk about European imports, we're watching Manu Ginobili cement himself as one of the greatest of all time. In another series, we're finally starting to see Ricky Rubio pay off the promise of his entire career. I'm a little bit of a closet Jazz fan right now, certainly until they meet the Warriors. The way Rubio whips some of those passes around the court, it's beautiful, Saint.
Dame, I'm a junkie. I'm loving these games. There's great games tonight, but that game last night, I just loved how hard they played and how together they played on the offensive game and making, as Steve Kerr would say, the extra pass. I have a good shot, but you got a great shot. I'm unselfish. I give you the ball. Then defensively, they were hustling. They were rotating. They were communicating. They played a terrific basketball game. And I'll tell you, I go back a long, long time. When that Jazz crowd believes they've got a pretty good team, oh boy, that's a pretty loud place. We even had Mitt Romney standing up cheering against Westbrook. So, you know, that was a great, great game. And they're playing terrific, like you and I have talked about New Orleans. These are teams that just are getting the max out of their personnel. Dame, I'll ask you this. When Rubio was traded for Teague, did you think Rubio had any of this? Did you see this in the tank?
No. I thought that signaled the beginning of the end for Rubio, moving him to a further outpost in the NBA, further even out than Minnesota. And it was just going to be a story that we told ourselves. You know, Ricky Rubio was supposed to be this transcendent guy, but he never really learned how to shoot. The passes were great, played 0D, and never was that much of a circumstantial player. Right now, he and Donovan Mitchell make up one of the most formidable backcourts in the NBA.
It's a beautiful thing because they look at the matchups and they let one or the other initiate, and a little bit like Philadelphia surrounding Simmons with shooters, well, you've got Ingles making shots and getting up in George's face, which I love, and then Favors is maybe playing arguably the best he's played all year long. We love, as Pop would say, the French rejection or the stifle tower. We love Rudy Gobert. And, I'm looking at their team and it makes sense. Even Dante Exum missed a layup at the end of the half, but I like his growth. And, it's just a team that's gelled at the right time. And give credit to Quinn Snyder. There's a trademark on their defense. But I love their unselfishness, their willingness to play together. You're right on. That was a fun game to watch.
Talking basketball with our friend Gary St. Jean, what do you think of Westbrook getting lost in a personal battle and giving up the game because of it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. You know, play on the court. You don't need all that stuff. And then to pick up the fourth foul, you know, I like a nice buttercream or chocolate cake. And that was frosting on the cake. When he picked up his fourth, I said, well, serves you right. You know, you can't go out and Bogart somebody and, you know, just say, oh, I'm going to get more physical. And so he plays him in the backcourt, 90 feet away from the hoop, and the entry pass comes in, and he goes over and chest bumps him right in front of the ref, like they're not going to call it. So, you know, there he is down the end of the bench with four. And, this game is a team game, and it's about we and us. It's not about I and me. And he makes it about him. and just grows old. I don't have any feelings of saying, oh, well, poor OKC. I don't have that at all.
No, no sympathy. We'll be waiting for Cupcake City should they actually give up the GOAT to the Utah Jazz. Our pal Gary St. Jean, you know, Klay Thompson had a rare, forgettable playoff game. I mean, he was not good in game four, a game worst minus, plus minus. How does he kick it back into gear in game five? It really seems like ball movement predicates his night more than any one player. Ball is moving around, finding an open catch and shoot. Klay can have a good night. Ball stops moving, individual agendas being addressed, if you will. Klay could have an off game, and he had an off game in game four.
Well, you know my very close friend and cohort, Professor Papa.
Yes.
And he shared with me, because I'm not an analytics guy, that the first three games, you've got to help me here, Dame. We had how many passes? Like over 300?
In every win, the number was over 300. Yeah. In the loss, it was under 290.
Game, and we were under 250, I think, a one.
Okay.
Well, what does that tell you? Why are we so efficient? Because when you evaluate this roster, I can easily say to you that we have six above-average passers. Well, if you have that, then you've got to move the ball. If you stay on one side against that team, they will lock in, help from the weak side, take away the driving lane. You'll play right into their strength. But if you move the ball and move people, you're going to be in a good position. Now, I love what Ettore Messina said. He said, listen, the Warriors are 29th in the league in pick and rolls. They do it with movement of people and movement of the ball. That's what makes them so tough to guard. That didn't happen the other night. First, we were throwing it away. And then late, we came back. But then we said, geez, we don't have anybody really going here. We're going to have to run pick and roll with KD and Draymond up top, which hasn't been a staple for our team. But it was effective. But we went away from who we really are. And I'm looking tonight, the defense, I don't have a problem. I thought game four, we were solid, maybe not as good as the first three. But that will be a staple. The key will be ball movement and the assist turnover ratio. First three, we had close to 30 assists every game. The last game, what do we have, 19?
Yeah.
19 points and 17 or 18 turnovers? That doesn't win on the road.
Hopefully they're going to come out with all the energy that they came out in game one with. JaVale McGee was right in the middle of them playing well, and hopefully that shows itself again in game five tonight. I'm going to give you three options, Gary. Choose the one you like the most. Single-digit win, double-digit win, 15-plus point win tonight for the Warriors. Which one you taking?
This is easy. I'll take a single-digit with heavy fireworks after the game. And I'm going to add something. We're going to hear a lot of this tonight, Dave. Warriors. The crowd is going to be big tonight. It really is. This is what the beauty of going to a Warrior game at Oracle is all about. I watched that Utah game last night. They had me fired up. Tonight, our fans are going to be fabulous. They're going to lift our guys. You're going to see a great effort by the Warriors tonight.
You got me fired up. Gary St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Always good stuff. You can see him as a Warriors analyst on NBC Sports Bay Area. And, of course, you can hear him right here on the Basketball Hour. Thanks, as always, my friend. Have a good time tonight.
You're the man, Dame. Go Warriors.
There he is, Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. When we return, it is the battle for Draftoros. It's like Westeros, except it's a draft. Just stick with me. It'll make sense.
Now, back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. We're about to get into this NFL draft and how it's about to polarize an entire nation. Real quick, from the Penske AutoSales.com text line. Hey, Damon, Manu is not European. He's Latino, isn't from Latin America. You've gotten this wrong a few times now. Oh, thank you, Mr. Helps-A-Lot. Let me explain this to you. Manu is European as far as the NBA is concerned. I don't care that his origin is from Argentina. He became part of the first European wave in NBA history when he came over after playing years of professional basketball in Italy, which is in Europe, last time I checked.
Yes, you are correct. He's from he does have dual citizenship, Argentina and Italy.
Dual citizenship. So, yeah, Manu may be from Latin America, but for the sake of an NBA conversation, he is a European player, which is why his signature move is the Euro step. Seriously, text line, don't try so hard to prove your host wrong. It does not go well for you. It does not go well. A lot of people got big ideas, and they saw Skip Bayless on TV say something this morning, so they think they got something to say.
All right, I got something to say. We got some news about the Sharkies.
We got good news!
Yes, we do!
That's right! That's right! That's right! That's right! That's right! That's right!
Yes!
We finally got a game won. Thursday.
Scheduled Thursday, 7 o'clock. Seriously, NHL, you almost can't get out of your own way. Of course, you're going to have the Sharks start during the NFL draft. Like, why wouldn't you just go dark as a league that night if you're the NHL? Why wouldn't you admit that you cannot beat the NFL?
Why are the games on the Golf Channel? There's so many questions.
It's unbelievable.
But at least we know. On Thursday, 7 o'clock in Vegas, Sharks and Knights. Golden Knights.
God. What is this? Why does Damon always get so upset? Sounds like a little girl constantly. Please get him off the show. Hey, you know what? Thanks for listening. And it's not that I get upset. It's just I hate people who present facts as absolute certainties when you're dead wrong. When you're dead frickin' wrong about something. And so we're just sharing information to make sure that you as a listener aren't dead wrong about the things you talk about in sports. So you don't seem like a yak-off in casual conversation around a water cooler. I'm here to help.
And here's the thing. Had you got it wrong, you would have said so.
Absolutely.
You would have been like, thank you, text line.
We admit to when we get things wrong. Doesn't happen often.
I hope not.
You don't mind
me
saying? I
try very hard.
So here's something that I promise you we're not getting wrong about this draft. It's about to be the most watched draft in sports history. The NFL has added multiple television players for this year's draft. ESPN, NFL Network, Fox is going to cover round one on Thursday night and rounds two and three on Friday. ABC picks up the national network coverage for rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. ESPN2 is going to have a special college slant to full draft coverage. ESPN Deportes is going to be broadcasting as well. The draft will be streaming on the NFL app, on NFL.com, on Fox Sports, and on ESPN.
Wow.
Now, there is a joint agreement that no staffers will tweet any picks ahead of the podium announcements for rounds 1, 2, and 3. Independent journalists will be climbing over each other to try to leak the pick before it's actually announced by ESPN, Fox, or NFL Network, to the point where somebody who works at one of those three networks is going to get tired of getting scooped, and they're going to break down and they're going to start leaking the picks. Who will it be? Who will be the first to start leaking picks? It's going to be amazing to watch this thing happen. It's going to be bigger than ever. And as you all know, we here are going to be covering the draft. Yours truly, Joe Fortenbaugh, Greg Papa, coming to you from Schroeder's. The coverage will be deep and sensational. We're going to have a really, really good time with it. I decided to have a really good time with it right here and now, looking how this whole thing sets up. It's almost like these different networks are great houses of Westeros battling for draft supremacy in the fictional land of Drafteros. And that got me thinking.
I'm excited now. Speaking my language, Damon.
That's Game of Thrones music they're playing.
Hell yeah.
Here they come. The battle for Drafteros, the battle for draft supremacy. House ESPN, their sigil is a sign that says, please watch Get Up Mornings on ESPN. We spent $14.5 million on this talent. Please watch. That is House ESPN's sigil. It's a promo for a show that's no one is watching. ESPN's draft day, Jon Snow, was Jon Gruden, who is gone beyond the wall. He will not return. So who will defend ESPN's own Castle Black? And you're probably saying, wait a minute, why wouldn't ESPN be the King's Landing of the NFL draft? Well, that's simple. It's because ESPN was the first to defend the wall. When the NFL draft was the furthest outpost of sports interest, ESPN was there. So ESPN has Castle Black. Who will defend the wall? Who still fights for House ESPN? The greatest draft swordsman in all the land. The Ned Stark of the NFL draft, Mel Kiper Jr. Joining Mel Kiper Jr. on the battlefield for Drafteros is Trey Wingo, who is the heir to Castle Berman. Kirk Herbstreit from the House Buckeye will be there. Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, Todd McShay, Louis Riddick, all men of the Night's Watch. Lady Colbert will be at the podium interviewing draft picks. Lady Susie Colbert. The coverage doesn't stop there. Sending Ravens from all over the NFL map will be Josina Anderson, Diana Rossini, Sal Palantonio, and Jeff Darlington. How do I know all this? Well, I read a column by the Spider, the master of whispers, Richard Deitch of The Athletic. He says, look, there's no sugarcoating this. The NFL put the screws to ESPN by adding Fox to the mix. Last year, ESPN averaged nearly 9 million viewers for round one, which was a 7% increase over the audience from the year before. That number, now that Fox and NFL Network are both in the game, is not going to go up, right? It gets divided. Let's be honest. We've seen ESPN cover this draft for years now. The NFL Network, too. So we're all going to be a little curious about the media explosion that Fox throws at this just for a pick or two, right? We're going to check it out. So it's time now to look at Fox and the NFL Network. Basically, this is like the Lannisters taking King's Landing. By the way, in case you're wondering, the Fox House sigil is a naked Joe Buck riding a dire wolf. The NFL Network sigil is a 30-yard pass interference flag on an unread CTE report. Harsh, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry. Sitting on the throne is Lord Rich Eisen. He sits on the Iron Throne. Mike Mayock would be then the Hand of the King. That makes Ian Rappaport Tyrion. Why? Well, he could end up becoming the most important, powerful Lannister on this draft day. Daniel Jeremiah, I guess he's Bronn. Stanford head coach David Shaw will be there. No one really knows why. Deion Sanders, the first of his name, protector of the realm of primetime, will be there. And believe it or not, Gianna, we actually get a Lady Stark doing stage interviews. Melissa Stark.
A real Lady Stark.
We get a real Lady Stark. Troy Aikman playing the role of Jaime Lannister. He'll be the captain of the Night's Watch, captain of the guard. Joel Klatt, Chris Rose, Pete Schrager, all members of the King's Guard. Steve Mariucci and Steve Smith Jr. will be representing the interests of the Iron Bank. The old maester, Charlie Casserly. So, who else is covering this draft? Well, ESPN 2 is like the Dothraki herd. Their sigil is basically Desmond Howard on a horse throwing a Heisman Trophy at somebody. Reese Davis, Desmond Howard, Lee Corso, David Pollack, Booger McFarlane, and Joey Galloway will be broadcasting on ESPN2. The ESPN2 broadcast will not be beholden to showing Roger Goodell make every pick. They're going to have fun. ESPN Deportes?
Oh.
Well, that would be Dorn. The sigil is Sergio Dipp reporting on a Broncos game. Sorry.
Ouch.
Sorry. It has to be. Thanks to all this streaming around, we will all be the three-eyed raven. We can see it all. We can look anywhere. And at that point, the caffeine wore off.
What were you doing when all that came about? That's pretty amazing.
First of all, I really miss Game of Thrones.
Me too.
And I really miss the NFL draft. You say, Damon, how come you miss the NFL draft? It's because I wasn't around for this last year. El Stroco Loco.
Yeah.
I had my stroke on draft day, and it meant I could not take part in any of our coverage. I am so happy to be back for this one.
Well, we're happy you're here.
Oh, thank you very much. By the way, speaking of the NFL, a little breaking news. Rob Gronkowski, who's been playing oh so coy about his return to the New England Patriots, just announced on the gram that he'll be playing in 2018 for the New England Patriots. So I guess that will quiet the Gronkowski trade talk for a moment or two. Let's see if Bill Belichick wraps it back up when it's all said and done.
ESPN is Castle Black. Very good.
Thank you.
I like Ian Rappaport as Tyrion.
You never know. He could be the breakout star of the whole thing. He really could be.
Naked Joe Buck on a dire wolf.
Naked Joe Buck on a dire wolf has to be a house sigil.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. We've got so much coming up for you today. We're going to be off the air right before 6 o'clock. That's when Warriors warm-up is happening. Five ways to win Game 5. We got Rich Aurelia joining us in just a second. Let me give you real fast. Five ways for the Warriors to win Game 5. Tonight, number one, how about shooting better than 38% for the game? Better than 25% from three. That's what they did in their Game 4 loss. Five ways to win Game 5. Here's number two. Klay Thompson, just be better than your minus 18 performance from Game 4. There's no way you're going to get another minus 18 out of Klay Thompson at home. Forget it. Forget it. That's not going to happen again. JaVale McGee, come with another energy game. Show me that you're that guy again. JaVale got off such a great start in Game 1, sort of tailed off since. Give me that start again. Fourth way to win tonight. Fewer than 16 turnovers. That's how you lost the last game. And oh yeah, fifth thing, Oracle. Oracle, you be Oracle tonight. Like Gary St. Jean said, we're going to get an awful lot of Warriors coming up tonight.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.